Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here, coming from Ohio. This is the first time I think in my life that I've ever traveled on the 80 this far. So usually when we hit to the 80 to 76, we shoot down to Pittsburgh because we have some friends down there. It's really been a blessing. We thank the Lord for sharing time with all of you and for wonderful hospitality, especially from Steve and Lana. Being able to spend a lot of time with them, and they're showing us all around your area. It's great to see mountains again. We were flatlanders for 6 years, you know, just sitting there and looking at all the corn and soybean and all that. But coming over here and going up and down mountains, our ears are popping all the time and stuff like that. Going, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Okay. Yes, it's good. It's good. So it's really wonderful to be here with you to share the Word of God and trust that he'll speak through me to bless each one of you and one way or another that will really meet you right where you're at. So we just rejoice in that. As Steve said, we're in the book of Mark, chapter 4. If you'd like to turn to that, we'll be going and looking at what the Lord has to teach us during that day. And as we were, had a lot of time to talk with Steve and Lana, we shared a lot of fish stories. Some of them, were they exaggerated or not? Maybe we'll check out in time, see how long that fish really was or whatever. But it was really good. I really enjoyed that. And, you know, one of the things that we enjoy as a family is traveling because we've been all over the world. And even before I was married to Joy, I moved around a lot. I'm actually born in Texas. So if my drawl comes out, excuse me. All right. But it's been a little while. My wife doesn't like it when I say I'm born from Texas, but that's the way it is. And then we spent a little time in Georgia, and then we went back to Texas, and then my dad landed us in California. Been there ever since, and felt little shakers out there, and some wildfires, and lots of other things that they have out there. But I enjoyed being a Californian. I did, and I'm so surprised God brought us way out east to Ohio. And maybe even further east, so we'll just see how he leads in that. So as we talked about times we spent traveling and just enjoying hospitality, meeting different people, as Steve said, we were over in Thailand for 15 years serving the Lord. Really enjoyed getting to know the Thai people, the culture there, learning the language, and just serving amongst them, and it was really an honor. It really was. And that's where our two boys were born, actually. They were born in Bangkok, Thailand, and so people kind of, whenever we have to sign them up for something, excuse me, we have to bring these special certificates because they weren't born in the States. So you always have to go through certain processes with that. You know, when I think about trips, I think about one of the times when we were first in Thailand and we went to a retreat and Joy and I were there with other missionaries, and she chose to go on a rafting trip. And, you know, when you go on a river raft, you're expecting to have a lot of fun and excitement, so they were all looking forward to it. And when I got on that raft and pushed off into that water that was running at flood stage, it's going to be an exciting time, but right off the bat, things weren't happening the way they expected because they pushed off into the water, and they found out the guide really didn't know what he was doing. But praise the Lord, there was somebody on the raft that had some experience, so he was able to help some. But sometimes they just lost control of the raft, and they went up to the side of the river, and there's branches hanging down in that river. And those branches had long thorns. So it was tearing at their clothes and their skin, and so the excitement started to kind of raise up a little bit, you know, because you're going, whoa, 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 you know, this is part of the adventure. Okay, we're going to stick with it. But, you know, so you think, okay, that's it. That's okay. We can deal with that. As they're going down the river and they lose control of the raft again and they're going into those branches again and dealing with the thorns. Now, it just kind of heightens the excitement a little bit because there were big spiders in there, those branches. And when they were brushing up against the spiders, don't be afraid, please. They were just dropping out of those branches onto their bodies, into their boats, and they were just scrambling, going, you know, throwing them off into the river, taking them out here. You know, I don't know about you, but grabbing a spider to me, I mean, I like spiders. I'm not really too afraid of them, but grabbing one and throwing them off, you have to be pretty brave, all right? So the excitement is really peaking now, but it might be starting to turn into a little scary moment, right? Starting to get a little bit scarier, thinking about these spiders, do they bite or not? Oh, the guide says, oh, not that hard, you know? So, yeah, so you can see what's happening there. As they're heading down, though, the biggest challenge is yet, it just gets worse because there was a big log in front of them, and there wasn't much space between the log and a river, and they were just kind of heading towards it going, I don't know how we're getting under this thing. Surprisingly, the people in the front of the raft were able to skinny under it and get through it, but the people in the back, which Joy was one of them, got swept off into that the water, into that raging river. And then all of a sudden, you know, all she, as she tells it, she just says, I have no idea what happened from then on. But then she just, when she came to her senses, she found herself at the side of the raft, and people were pulling her back into the raft. So she had no idea what happened from that point when she was swept off in the river until she got to the side. But I think we can kind of think a little bit more about that and see later on. So, you know, we have plans, right? And we expect excitement or maybe smooth travels and stuff like that. And we just look, we just expect it to be a way that we were just already envisioning it. And sometimes things just come out of the blue on us or sneak up on us when we're trying to maybe not even look at it. And, you know, you meet with a more exciting time than you ever expected, right? So before we go on, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 4. I'm sorry, Mark. There is. It is also in Matthew, too, actually. It's in Matthew and in Luke. But we'll look in the thing of Mark. Oops, I'm going to open up this Bible just in case I need it here. I like the bigger print myself. So that there. So let's pray before we go on. Lord Father, we do come before you knowing that you are the creator of the universe. And we can always depend upon you when we are really focused and really walking closely with you. We know you are right there with us. We just thank you for this time together, your word that we can learn from. May you teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and may you receive all the honor and glory from it, Lord. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So life storms, I call them life storms. What Joy faced there on the raft was kind of a life storm, something she did not expect. You know, it just came out of the blue for her. And like I said, there's come at different storms can come at different intensities. They can be little ones, they can be big ones, medium ones. They can come slowly, like when you're waiting for something. It can be create a storm inside you. Storms can be from the outside, like, you know, when you get into a violent thunderstorm or tornado or hurricane or get shaken up by an earthquake, like I have a few times. You know, storms happen in different ways and different times in our lives, but we do face storms. Not, I don't think anybody in this world has ever not faced some type of a life storm of some kind. And, you know, people think about, oh, maybe it was a health issue, or it might be a financial issue, it might be a relationship issue, it might be a spiritual issue, and it just goes on from there. So there's a lot of different ways, and, you know, so why do we face these storms? And you know, what? How do we deal with them are very important to us, and even today, we're going through this thing called COVID storm, right? Something that you don't see, but it's really shaken up this nation and a lot of places in the world as well. One of the biggest fears, you know, when you hit a storm, one of the things that you get hit with the most, I think, especially even at the beginning, is called fear. It's an emotion, all right? Fear is an emotion that we deal with. It's not a bad thing. It's just something that happens naturally. But the important part is how we deal with that fear. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And who do you have to help you when you're facing those storms? You know, some people don't look towards anybody. They're just thinking about, oh, I'm just going to take care of this. I got this. I'm going to take care of this myself. And other people have a good family support system or good friends or some other thing that they rely upon. I know the Thai in Thailand, they will go to their idols and they'll pray to the idols and ask for help during times of storms. And so there's a lot of different ways people deal with it. One thing Jesus said to his disciples when he is telling them that there's a lot of things that they're going to face, that even he's going to be facing a lot of persecution. And he said these words in John 16:33. He said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." Okay, you will face storms. "But take heart. I have overcome the world." And he said that to encourage his disciples at that time. And I really believe, you know, as followers of Christ, we really need to understand who Jesus is in the storms and even when things are riding smooth and easy for us. And here I'm just thinking about something to focus upon. You know, we can care. Well, I mean, we can have peace. We can have peace trusting that Jesus will take care of us and help us overcome any storm. One more time. We can have peace trusting that Jesus will care for us. He'll take care of us and help us overcome any storm, no matter how big or small or what kind. He is there for us. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. There's, you know, three ways that Jesus can gives us peace as I look at that passage there in chapter 4 in Mark. And we're going to kind of look at some of those there. And, you know, some people might just ask, you know, what is peace? What is it? And so I looked it up. I found a little definition, and it says something like it's a lack of conflict. Okay, when you're at peace, there should be a lack of conflict. There should be freedom from fear. All right, so you should not be, you know, the natural emotion of fear will come up on us, but it should not be an overwhelming fear that causes us to maybe withdraw or become overly aggressive, try to protect ourselves. And one another thing here, too, it says it's really getting things right. So if you ever taken a test, you know, I don't know if you can go back. I can think about some tests I took, and you're just putting your best effort out, and you just don't know what the outcome is, you know. But when you do it right, everything falls into place. There, you put down your pen at the end, and you just kind of go, whew, you know. Have you ever done that? You just kind of go, ah. Yeah, and then it's kind of like a peace comes over you at that time, whatever it is, you know, building something, putting a lot of effort in it, and you take a look at it, just kind of go, oh, yeah, you know, there's a peace. There's something, you know, something just got right. Well, you know, Jesus did something very special for us because he came to make peace between us and the Father, because no one else could do it for us. We couldn't do that ourselves. We can't even come before the Father ourselves, or we'd get consumed by his holiness. All right? So we needed an intermediator, and Jesus is it. And he came in between, and through his cross, through his death, he made peace between us and God. And we can have rest in that. Have peace in that. So when people say, "What is peace?" just think about that. So if something is starting to stir up inside you and you're just not peaceful, you need to kind of say, "Well, what is it? What's going on?" So we'll take a look at a little bit at as we go through this passage together. Three ways Jesus gives us peace as we look. He calms the storms of life. He calms those storms of life. He can do that for us. He tests our hearts. And he also reveals himself to us. So the first one, you know, how he's the one that calms the storms in our life. You know, as you look at that passage, the disciples, you know, had Jesus in a boat. They're going, "Oh, man, this is a great time." You know, he was teaching. A lot of people were listening. Things were going well. They were really excited. You know, people were learning more about God, and they're going, you know, Jesus says, "Well, we're going to go on to the other side because there's more people to teach." And they're going, "Yeah, all right, Jesus, come on." you know, we're going to go. They push off, you know, Jesus in their boat, and they start going across the lake, and their plans are just a smooth, easy trip, right? Right across that lake. There was nothing, no clouds around or anything at that time. They were looking forward to a good trip, maybe get some rest on the way. Jesus was already sleeping at the stern, putting his head on the pillow, and all of a sudden, what happened? This violent storm came up, you know, something that they did not plan on. And so their plans were ruined right then and there. And they're going, you know, wow, what are we going to do? Have you ever heard of a guy named Mike Tyson? He was a pretty famous boxer. Back a ways, I remember watching him when he was first a young guy, and he was so powerful. He had a powerful left hook, and he just was strong, you know. And he said this. He said, everybody has a plan till they get hit in the mouth. All right? And so the disciples just got hit in the mouth. They had this plan, and they got hit in the mouth. And now what are they going to do? You know, have you ever been there? You have a plan? Yeah, this is what we're going to do. And boom, oh, wait a second. Plan has changed. I got to think of something else, right? And so, you know, the disciples are struggling, and we don't know how long, against that storm, but they were getting pretty desperate because their boat was getting swamped, and they were going down. And then, bing, they finally remembered, oh, Jesus. We got Jesus in the boat. And they had no clue what he could do. They were getting to know him, but they had really no clue what he was going to do. But it was their last, you know, think they, that you can ever think of doing. They were just desperate for anything. So they went and, you know, came, and Jesus was sleeping in a boat. And people are saying, well, why is Jesus sleeping during a storm? You know, what's going on there? Peace. He had perfect peace. He knew who he was, and he knew his Father. He knew what his Father is going to have him do. He had no worries. Nothing was in between him and his Father. So he's able to sleep peacefully. But they aroused him, Jesus, Jesus. And you know what they asked him? They said, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Have you ever did that before? I have. Have you ever accused Jesus of not caring? You hit a storm, you get hit in the mouth, you know, or you get swept off into the river. And you're going, this is not what I planned for. Jesus, don't you care? What's going on here? I don't want to know how many times. I've accused, pretty much accusing Jesus of not caring. But, you know, Jesus is a different kind of a person, isn't he? You know, he knows fear. He knows that it's a debilitating emotion that can just overcome us and cause us to do things irrationally, like question him. You know, does he care or not? He knows that, and he's able to work through that. And, you know, if Jesus was any other type of person, he might have been kind of indignant about that question. Probably said, guys, you think about, I don't care about you, I'm out of here. He could have got out of that boat and started walking on the water to another boat, because there's other boats out there, right? He could have did that. He could have just left them. Bye, guys. You don't trust in me. You don't know who I am. I'm out of here. No, but Jesus knows their hearts, and he didn't do that. So what did he do? Well, he got up, right? He got up. He showed that he did care for them. And he spoke simple words, right? Silent, be still to the waves and the wind. He took the breath out of the wind immediately. And the sea calmed, and the waves were still. Instantaneously. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, if you've had something in your life, some type of a storm, and it just, you just finally came to your senses, and you came to Jesus, and he just calmed everything for you. I know I have. I know I teach some pretty rough characters at schools, and you know, there's sometimes where my heart's just at a turmoil inside, you know, because I know I got to work with these kids, and I don't know if they're going to just go off on me or not, you know, at any moment. And so sometimes I'm just thinking, I'm getting kind of, sometimes I break out in sweats and maybe even shake a little bit. And I'm going, what am I going to do? And then I finally remember, oh, I got Jesus in my boat. and I give a little time, I pray and just ask him for help. And I tell you, things calm down. Now, I don't know what that student or students might, you know, get melt down on me or something like that, but still I have that peace with me because I know Jesus is with me. It just reminds me about how good he is. You know, and we don't, you know, the disciples in that boat or and when we're in our walk in our daily lives and we get hit by a storm, we only see a small part, right? Just a small part of things. We don't see the whole picture like God does. Have you ever remember that story of the elephant and the blind man? You know, the blind man come up and somebody will ask him, well, what does an elephant? And then one of them would touch the trunk, go, oh, it's long and it feels like a snake, you know, it's like that. Other guy will touch the ear and just kind of go, well, it's kind of thin and flappy, you know. And another one, you know, the leg is, oh, it's like a tree trunk, you know. It's rough and strong and stuff, you know. So they see those little parts, but they don't see the whole thing. And we have to remind ourselves when we're going through those storms in life, we don't see the whole picture. It might not really be about us. It might be about someone else. We don't know. But we just have to trust where we're at and come before Jesus and allow him to speak into our lives and to calm those storms, to help us through those times. God with us, right? Emmanuel, God with us. As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, each one of us has Jesus in our boat. And I think that's one thing we really have to remember when we're facing storms. Jesus is in the boat with us. So when the storms get tough, we know where to go. This was, God spoke this to Moses in a time when they're going to be leading the Israelites over into the promised land. And he was speaking this to the people, I think it was Joshua as well. And, you know, they're going across into the promised land, but they're going over there, and there are stronger, more powerful nations over there. So they were the little guy. They were the underdog going across that Jordan River. But God was encouraging them with these words. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's one thing we need to understand about Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. When you have him in the boat, he's there in the boat. Oh, we might get out of the boat. But hopefully we'll come to our senses and get back into the boat. But he won't. He's not going to get out of the boat. He's there. You know, that's what we need to know. And Jesus, you know, after the storm calmed, you know what happened? You know, the disciples are probably going, huh? Can you even think about that? Can you even think about what they experienced? I don't know if you've ever been a boat before. I've been on an airplane where we're landing and you're going like this, like that, all right? And when we landed on the ground finally, the stewardess just said, you know, I'm glad we're on the ground, aren't you? You know, and while we're flapping up in the air like a drunken bird, you know, we're not knowing if we're going to flip over or just fall straight out of the sky. You know, the heart is beating. You're fearful. You know, you can't control the situation, you know. But, you know, Jesus is right there with us, you know. And it reminds me, you know, hey, no matter what, and this is what Steve, this is on you, man. This is what he says. He says, hey, you know, when I get fear or things are happening like that, you know, I just turn to the end of the book. And I already know what happens. You know, at the end of the book, in the book of Revelation, you know, it says, we win. We win. You know, we're more than conquerors in Christ. We win. You know, so when all these other things are going on around us, all the different things that try to cause fear in our lives, or we run up against a situation we've never been in before, or something just comes out of blue and hits us in the mouth, or we get swept off into the river, or our boat is being sunk. You know, we have to go back to the basics. Jesus is right there with us. He's in a boat with us, and he's not going to forsake us or leave us. He's right there, and he's the one that can calm the storm in your heart and around you, if he chooses, right? We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But in this, Jesus came to the disciples, and he asked them a couple of questions, right? He says something like, you know, why are you so afraid? Why are you fearful? Why so little faith? You know, but I don't think he was really condemning them, because he knew where they were at. And Jesus isn't like that. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. So what he was doing, really, is saying, check your hearts, guys. Let's see where you are. Have you ever had an EKG before for your heart? They put those little pads on. They're kind of cold. They put that stuff on. And, you know, they want to see your heartbeat, see where it is, see how strong it is, right? See if you're doing okay and stuff. Or sometimes I'll put you on a treadmill and see how that's going. And, you know, Jesus, he does that. You know, some people say, well, why are storms happening in our lives? Well, God has a way. He likes to test us, because he wants to show us where our faith is. He wants to show us how strong our trust muscles are. And he's testing them, saying, how are your muscles doing? You know, right now they're kind of small. You know, your trust muscles are really about right here. But guys, did you see what I just did? Did you see that I just calmed the storm? And you can just see. Later on, we can see in Peter's life, you know what? You know what happened just a little bit later? What did Peter do? Another storm. Got on a boat, another storm arose. This time, Jesus wasn't in a boat. He was walking on water. What did Peter do? Jesus, I'm going to come out and walk on water with you. Right? His trust muscles grew quite a bit, right? I wouldn't be getting out of that boat, okay? I'd still probably be in that area, but Peter's muscles grew a lot stronger. Probably reflected back at this time, saying, oh, this is Jesus, this guy that calmed storm. He'll take care of me when I get out of the boat. I can walk on the water with him. Yes, that's Jesus. So he'll test our hearts and help us walk by faith and not by sight. Because I tell you, when we're walking by sight, things are scary. Thorns are out there. Spiders are dropping. Boats are sinking. Left hooks are coming at us. Things that we don't even see are trying to tear our society apart. But we have Jesus. You know, he's the one that can calm the storm, any storm. And we can have peace in that and trust in him in that and allow him to be God. Allow him to be God, and let us be his followers, his faithful followers in that. And as we go on, you know, in the story, the disciples were just stunned, you know. And then they finally came up with their own question again, but this time it wasn't an accusing question. It was, who is this guy? Who is this guy that even the wind and the waves obey him? This guy took the breath out of the wind instantaneously. Who is he? Well, you know what? I got a feeling. You know what they were doing? They were starting going back in their days in the synagogue when they're learning all these Bible stories that they taught there. And they probably went back to Genesis, and they probably remember, oh, God created a world. How did he spoke? Let there be light. And light came into existence, just speaking. And they're starting to put one and one together. wait a second. Jesus spoke and he calmed this wild, violent storm. God created the earth. They're starting to put things together. They might have even gone back to another wild storm a guy went through, a guy running from God. And this guy was sleeping too, but he was sleeping in a different way. It wasn't peaceful. He was withdrawing from the world. He wanted to die. All right, his name was Jonah. Violent storm. God wanted him to turn around, obey. Well, he had to be tossed into the sea. But when his body hit that wild, raging sea, what happened? It became immediately calm. They were probably thinking about these things, going, oh, this is God? This is God in the flesh? And, you know, we know they probably proclaimed that maybe a couple times before this incident, probably. But you know how we're slow learners as human beings, you know? We need to get a left hook once in a while to wake us up and try to get us back on track again, right? Just to teach us. We're learning here. You know, we have an advantage over the disciples because they didn't have the Bible, the whole Bible. They didn't have the Old Testament and New Testament. But we have an advantage. And if you looked at in the book of Colossians and chapter 1 and 15 to 20, it says this. I'm going to read this to you. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and it's supreme over and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. COVID? I don't know. Such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities is the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Isn't it amazing just to think about that? Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God and all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace. Oh, there's that word again. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. I tell you, he's teaching us. We can be taught through life storms, be taught as we read the word and fellowship, hear messages that challenge us. God directly challenging us. Where's your heart muscles, guys? Where are they? Are they strong enough? I believe at that point that there's just a huge wave of peace that came over the disciples in that boat. It was no longer threatening to drown them, but just filling them with this sudden peace. And even though they say it's a fear, but it's not a bad fear, it's a fear of God, which is the beginning of a lot of good things like wisdom that we need in our lives, to know who we are, right? Who we are in Christ, who we are in this world, what we're here for. You know, when you think about it, and if you reflect on your lives, you're starting to understand that who Jesus is. I know when I think about him, I think of a lot about how he provides for our family, you know, through a lot of different times, even through these tough times now. He's the one who sees me. He's the one who sees you. He knows you by name. He's the one who has our refuge and our salvation. He's our rock. He's our protector. He is the Almighty God. He's the creator of the universe. I mean, you can go on and on and on. That's who he is. They asked the question, who is this? we're finding out who he is, right? He's awesome. He's this awesome creator God who knows us and loves us, who sent his son to die for us, to make peace between us and the Father in heaven. So with Jesus in our boat, we can overcome any storm through his strength. I still remember we went on a hiking trip with our boys, and they were really young when we did this, but it was one of these mountains. It wasn't very high, so I was kind of laughing because I've hiked a lot of tall mountains in my life, and this was in Thailand, you know, but they just took you straight up. But as you go straight up, after a while, then they'd come, there'd be a little plateau, and they'd have restaurants and things like that up there. Then you go straight up again. And then there's another little plateau, and there's more places where you can eat and just get refreshed and stuff like that. And I remember that. That was such a powerful thing. And as we're going up, Joy was always telling the boys, you know, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know, and they were running up the hill and back and down all that stuff. She was really doing that for me. Because I know there's times I was going, oh, man, especially when we got to the ladder at the end. And at the top of that mountain, it said this. You know, what was it? Yes, congratulations, conquerors. Well, I tell you, at that moment, I didn't feel like a conqueror. I felt like I was pretty well conquered, but I was still alive, all right? Sometimes storms are like that. You know, we go through those storms, and we barely skinny through. But, you know, God is right there. We're still more than conquerors, guys. We're still more than conquerors. And it's not because of who we are. It's because of who he is, right? Who Christ is. And people say, well, what is this overcoming thing? Jesus died. You know, Jesus, he didn't. What did he overcome? He died. That's a loser. He died. But when you really look at it, he didn't. He did die. But he rose again on the third day. Yeah, he overcome. You know what he overcame for us? The thing that we fear most in life. You know what that is? Death. He overcame death. He defeated death for each one of us. Everybody in this world, whether they know him or not, he defeated it. And that is overcoming. And he allows us to overcome in him. We can overcome death. We don't have to fear it. We can turn to the back of the book and look at how it turns out, how the story turns out. We're okay. We get into this awesome inheritance that God has for us. It's something we can't even describe. It's just so something beyond our imagination. It's so beautiful and wonderful. You know, that's what we have in Christ. And that's what helps us overcome that strength, that hope, the truth that he gives us to guide us, give us a way, and to follow him so we can be more than conquerors. So there are three things I want you to take with this. So we know that he is our peace, and he's the one that helps us overcome any storm. And, you know, he's in our boat. And so we'll just kind of continue on this boat ride thing. You know, it's important. The first thing is you got to invite Jesus in your boat. So if you don't have Jesus in your boat right now, you got to invite him. He's right there with you. You know, you just need to confess your sins, ask him for forgiveness with a true heart, a sincere heart. Invite him into your heart as Lord and Savior and say, hey, I'm following you, Jesus. You're the captain of my boat. I'm following you. Give him your full allegiance. And I tell you, every storm that you faced, whether the big ones or the slow ones, the sudden ones, the powerful ones, doesn't matter. He's there with you. He's the one that can calm that storm. Oops. So if you have Jesus in your boat, well, know that he's there in your boat, right? Because I tell you, when the storms come up, I know in my life, I don't think about Jesus sometimes. I'm thinking about, oh, what's my plan A? That plan A just got hit in the mouth. And it's done. B, C, D, E, F. come on, I got to think this through. I got to work it through. And I tell you, when I'm finally sinking, then I go, oh, wait, I got Jesus in my boat. But I didn't have to wait that long. I didn't have to go through A, B, C, D, E, E, F, right? I could have gone right at A, right after A. My plan got changed on me. I could have gone right to Jesus. He might have asked me just to come and sit with him at the stern of the boat and just ride the wild, violent storm out with him because he's doing some other work. He might just stood up and just, he might just calm the storm immediately for me. Or he might have me go down in the boat with him. He's still with me. He's still with me. And he has me in his hand. He is the one who is faithful and true. In the book of Revelation, they show him as he's coming king, and he's coming on that horse, and on his thigh is written, faithful and true. That's who he is. Another thing, when you're in a boat, you got to know where you're going, right? And I know they say get your bearings, you know, you have a compass. Some people just use the stars, whatever, but you need to know where you're going. Well, here's your compass. Here's your true north right here. The Word of God is your true north. You'll always know where north is as you get into the Word, and you'll know where you're going. Even when you get hit by those waves, those huge waves that are trying to knock you off course, you can still get back in that compass and find out where true north is and continue on in to your destination. You know, the Word of God is your true north. We should be in it daily and just listening to his voice as we read and getting together in fellowship and studying the Bible and just talking about who God is together, you know, learning and growing and reflecting on the storms that just passed and see what Jesus did. Who is he in that storm? Who is he in that storm in my life? Get my heart checked out to see how strong my trust muscles are. You know, that's all the part of this, getting your bearings. And then lastly here, you know, there are other boats. Do you remember that? There are other boats that went out with Jesus. They went through the same storm. They didn't have Jesus in a boat. So I don't know how they dealt with it. They're probably sinking too. You know, we don't know. Doesn't say anything. But what Jesus has us to do, he commands us to do, he wants us to wave those people over, those other boats to come on over and say, and tell them what you just saw. We're in that storm, right? Our boat was sinking. We went to Jesus and cried out for help. You know what he did? All he did is spoke, and all the storm became breathless. And they'd probably going, yeah, I know, we were sinking too. And then all of a sudden, just things just, you know, boom, everything went calm again. We didn't know what happened. Jesus did that? Well, remember the story of Jonah? When they threw him in the sea, and everything became calm, they started to think about God too. Ooh, we gotta give offerings and pay honor to this God. Same thing here, you know, we need to share through our life storms what God has done in our lives, who he is in our lives, and we can just share that. You know, I was going through a tough time. You know, I was having a tough time with these students and stuff. And, you know, and I finally just asked Jesus for help. And you know what? He gave me peace in this time. You know, he gave me peace. And I was able to teach these kids the ways that bring honor and glory to God, you know, with love. You know, the same thing for us. Each one of us, we're in our boats. We have Jesus in our boats. We go through these different life storms. You know, when they finally go away or you're still going through it, you need to be a witness to the other boats that are going through it too. Share with them what you're learning about who God is in your life. That's what we are to do, to witness about Jesus. So when we look at this, we look at the the wild raft ride, getting knocked off into the water, or a big left hook coming at us, knocking us on a canvas, or our boat is sinking in a big violent storm. You know, but we know that we have Jesus. Jesus is the one that can calm things down and give us that peace and help us overcome all these storms in our lives victoriously. And we can share that and be a light to others in that too. I'll end it with this passage, this verse from Philippians. This is something to remind us to do and to take with us. It says this, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." May you remember that as we go on in our daily walk and to be a witness for Christ, for who he is in our life, the one who is in a boat with us all the time. Let's pray. Lord, Father, we come before you again just amazed. And Lord, as we reflect, yes, you are this awesome God who really loves us. And there's nothing too big for you or too small. You care. And we can always come to you, and you're the one that can calm the storms. And we can trust in you, and we know we can be overcomers as we just trust in you and follow you and allow you to be God. So, Lord, help us to walk in a way that will bring honor to you, and help us to trust in you in all times, and also to tell others, to share others of what we are, to others about what we are learning about you, who you are, so they can get you in their boat. I just praise you and thank you for this time together and your blessings upon each one here and their families as they are even in smooth sailing or these times, if they're facing some type of storm. Lord, I pray that they will remember that you are in their boat and that they can call upon you and they can trust in you in the storm. And you will give them victory. Praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen. Thank you.